Okay, thank you for joining the press conference. We've got Glenn Curl, the acting head coach of the Irish women's team. We'll start with Ian Callender. Ian.
Hi Glenn, nice to
Hi,
talk to you.
Ian.
First time. You've been
How are
around
you
for a
doing?
while. You've been around for a while, but you've always been in the background. So you're looking forward to stepping up to the mark, are you?
I can't wait. I'm absolutely buzzing to get going.
What I'm just interesting that actually Ed will be on the trip as well. Is that how's that going to work? Is that would you prefer that he wasn't there, or how's that going to work here under more pressure?
I think it's just a switch in roles to give me a bit more responsibility and to have experience leading a group like this on a tour and on a series. And it's actually I think it's really nice to have him there actually to so I'm able to bounce ideas off and things like that. So no, I no more pressure at all. It's just it'd be nice to have him there too. As a sounding board for me when I'm making a few decisions that I wouldn't normally do.
I'm not chasing you away, but have the ambitions to get the head coach role of some team, not obviously not necessarily Ireland, but somewhere.
Yes, definitely, most definitely. That's definitely an ambition of mine is to take a step up when I've had a bit more experience at this level, and then hopefully a tour like this will put me in the right place to continue my to continue the climb.
You well, obviously, most of them are familiar names, obviously going to the Netherlands next week, but exciting young squad. Amy Maguire has obviously has made a good instant impression. What's your impressions of her so far?
I'm a massive fan of Amy Maguire. She's a very exciting prospect. Coming forward, I had the pleasure of taking her to South Africa with the under-19s group and just watching her get better and better and better with each game she plays. So she's a very exciting spinner who gives the ball a good rip.
Obviously, up here we're very interested in Amy Hunter, who's obviously a pretty exceptional talent. She's been a protege for many years. She's such an exciting future ahead of her, hasn't she?
Yeah, Amy also is similar. Amy Hunter is also getting better and better. The more cricket she plays, you can just see she learns very, very quickly, and she's just you can just see her taking everything in, and you can see her putting it into performances game after game. So she's an obviously very, very exciting prospect to have in our lineup.
Okay, thanks very much.
No problem.
Nathan Jones, Irish Times.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Hi,
Good to chat to
Nathan.
you.
Yeah, how you doing?
Thanks, man. Yeah, just. Could you tell us how this kind of role swap came about? Was this something that you wanted to do and kind of approached? Was it Ed's idea? The men's side has done something similar, so did it come from the high performance side of things?
Yeah, I think it came from the high performance side of things. So just with the volume of cricket that's coming up for the men and obviously the women's side, the next year's schedules looks very hectic. It's a good idea for other staff and other members of staff to take on different roles to give them an opportunity to do it in case they had to do it further down the line. And just the volume of cricket having only a few, well, there's two coaches at the moment, but yeah, so there's so many other so much cricket going on that it's nice to be able for Ed to be able to have a bit of time off, or if he was able to give me the role for another series, he'd be comfortable with me doing it. So
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the number of coaches there. Obviously, when you were in South Africa, you had Nathan with you, which was obviously, a big help. He was obviously quite popular, I know, before he left.
yeah, big time.
How has your role kind of changed both before and because I know he fluttered between different jobs at men, women, and in pathways. So how has your role changed both before he came on, during he came on, and now that you're the main bowling coach again? How has your role kind of evolved?
It's just being more involved in this in the spin side with the spinning group. So Nathan took a real good role and took the spinners, and he was able to did a really good job with them. And then I was able to focus more with the seamers, and then help a little bit of Ed with the batting, and then regards to the fielding, and do a lot of that. So now I'm just able to step back into what I was doing before Nathan arrived, with the on the bowling side, and not just from the seaming point of view, from spin and seam. So it is just stepping back into what I was doing before Nathan arrived.
safe to say, obviously, the seam side of things, your area of expertise, given your playing career.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. So I was a seamer, and I think that would be my expertise with regards to what I'd know more about that than spin. But I've done a fair bit of coaching, and I think I'm getting the hang of the spin side of things as well.
Just a word on Orla. She's kind of gone through a bit of development this summer. She started bowling an outswinger all of a sudden, and now she started bowling bumpers a little bit in domestic cricket. Could you speak a little bit about like your role in that? She said she did a little bit over when she was in Bristol, but I'm assuming you've been working hard at her with those variations as well.
Yeah, I think the more cricket Orla plays, she learns very, very quickly. So she's learning that to be successful at the highest level, and she's going to obviously played in the English domestic stuff. She's going to the CPL, and when she's playing against the better opposition, she's learning that she can't just use one skill. She has to have many tricks up her sleeve. So we've been trying to push it on, and Orla picks up things very, very quickly. So she's able to execute those things that we've been working on in games quite soon after actually practicing them.
And just a word on the seam bowling department in general. Obviously, Georgina went quite well against Australia. The second game was a little bit trickier in terms of a flatter deck. But it kind of seems like with people back from fitness and exams, etc., kind of all of a sudden out of nowhere, the seam attack looks reasonably strong. Like there's two or three players who would have played at the World Cup who look like they could easily miss out now. That's good. Things are kind of coming together nicely there.
Yeah, it's a very good. It's a good thing for us. It's a great thing for us where players are really pushing each other to get into the side. Where we're leaving out some players who'd played 6 months of cricket for us, and they were nearly one of the first names on the team sheet, and now they're really battling to get back into the team. So it's a really strong position to be in the seam department, where we have four or five bowlers who could genuinely bowl in the power play or in the middle or at the end at any stage, which is a great place to be in as a coaching group.
And just finally for me, it's been really noteworthy, like having been around, you know, spoken to some of the people out in South Africa and then in Australia last week. You guys have worked really hard at creating an environment where there's kind of an acceptance that it's a young group, there's going to be bumps in the road, you know, losing games is part of it. You know, obviously the Caribbean was maybe the expectations were a little bit higher. Expectations for this series are obviously higher still. So as good of a job as you've done at making sure morale is good despite the win-loss record, how important is it to get some wins now and kind of so you're not relying on, you know, positivity after defeats and you actually get into that habit again?
Yeah, I think it's a very good habit to get into, and it's a very habit to lose very quickly as well, unfortunately. So that's the nature of the sport. But obviously, to get over the line in a couple of games, hopefully in this series, would be massive for the group. The morale is still very, very good, coming off the back of some difficult series. Obviously, as you mentioned there, we didn't play as well as we had hoped in the West Indies, and Australia was always going to be a very tricky test. But there were patches in the Australia series where the girls showed that they can mix it with anybody. So, which is really, really exciting. We just got to make sure that they are keeping their heads up and making sure that they're taking exactly what they were doing in that Aussie series and now putting it into play and playing the same brand of cricket that we would if we were playing Australia, South Africa or the Netherlands. Doesn't matter who we play against.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
No problem. Thanks, Nathan.
Okay. I've got two questions. I'm actually going to say them. They've been sent to me just to ask Glenn, so it's me asking questions on behalf of two journalists.
Okay.
The first one says, what impact will Mary Waldron's absence have on the squad?
Mary is obviously a massive character within the group, and she'll be a really big loss around the team, being on the field and off the field. She brings a wealth of experience and obviously a very, very good wicketkeeper. So Amy Hunter has big shoes to fill, but I've no doubt that she's able to fill those shoes, no problem at all. But it will be a massive loss and a transition that we'll have to get used to.
And the second question was, we have two players heading to the women's CPL shortly, which is great for them, but is there any disappointment that other teams, say in the 100, didn't come knocking?
Sorry, Craig, it broke up. The last bit they broke up, it was the CPL and then something. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll say it again. We've got two players heading to the women's CPL shortly, which is great for them. But are you disappointed that teams, particularly in the 100, didn't come knocking this year?
To speak, it is disappointing. I think we have some girls who are well able to mix it with in that competition, and it's great for the girls who are getting to go to the CPL. But it's always a fine line when the girls are going to play in the 100, or they would potentially have missed this Netherlands trip and then give someone else an opportunity if they're not there. So it's always a tricky balance to get right. But I have no doubt in the next coming years that there will be players will be picked up and getting, because they've definitely got the skill and talent to mix it with the best.
Great. Okay, Ian, Nathan, any more questions, or is that it? That's
all good. Thank you.
I was just going to ask about the experience in the Netherlands, Glenn. Have you been there before?
I've taken an under-17s team to the Netherlands, and we were there with the senior team. This time last year, we were there. We played 3 ODIs.
Okay. Good luck. Perfect.
Okay.
Cheers.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Glenn. I'll now stop the recording and put this on Google Drive in a few minutes. Thank you all.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, guys.